Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances at the lotus feet of all wonderful Vaishnavas assembled here. I am very fortunate to be in this place where Srila Prabhupada had many manifested pastimes, and also in the association of many, many wonderful senior Vaishnavas, especially Srila Prabhupada's disciples. This must be the result of some pious activity which I have done in my previous life. Otherwise, not possible to be here with all these wonderful Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. So today's verse is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3. Chapter 3, text number 27. Hiranyam Rajatam Shayam. Hiranyam Rajatam Shayam. Vasyam Sajina Kambalan. Vasyam Sajina Kambalan. Yanam ratani pan kanya. Yanam ratani pan kanya. Dharam vritti karim api. Dharam vritti karim api. Hiranyam rajadam shayam. Vasyam sajina kambalan. Yanam datan ibhan kanya. Dharam vritti karim api. Shayam Vasam Sajina Kambalan. Matajis Hiranyam Rajatam Shayam Vasam Sajina Kambalan. Dharam Vritti Karim Api. Hiranyam Rajatam Shayam Vasam Sajina Kambalan. Radam Ram Kanya. Haram vritti karim api. Hiranyam rajatam shayam. Pashamsajina Kambalam Yanam Radhan Bhankanya Vandite Karim Api. Hare Krishna, word meaning Hiranyam, gold, Rajatam, gold coins, Shayyam, bedding, Vashamsi, clothing, Ajina, animal skin, for seeds, Kambalan, blankets, Yanam, horses, Ratan, chariots, Iban, elephants, Kanya, girls, Dharam, land, Vrittikarim, to provide livelihood, Api, also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: the Brahmanas were, here the system of repeating the translation. I follow the system here. Please repeat the translation. The Brahmanas were not only given well-fed cows in charity, but also gold, gold coins, bedding, clothing, animal skin, seeds, blankets, horses, elephants, girls, and sufficient land for maintenance. Purport: all these charities were meant for the Brahmanas, whose lives were devoted entirely to the welfare of society, both spiritually and materially. The Brahmanas were not giving their services as paid servants, but the society provided them with all necessities. It was arranged for some of the Brahmanas who were in difficulty for marriage to be given girls. The Brahmanas, therefore, had no economic problems. The Kshatriya kings and rich merchantile men would provide them with all that they needed. And in exchange, the Brahmanas were completely devoted to the elevation of society. That was the way of social cooperation between the different castes. When the Brahmana class or caste gradually became easygoing, being fed by the society, although they had no Brahmanical qualifications, they degraded themselves into Brahma Bandhus or disqualified Brahmanas. And thus, other members of society also gradually fell down from the social standard of progressive life. As described in Bhagavad Gita, the caste system is a creation of the Lord and is arranged according to the quality of work rendered to society and not in terms of birthright, as falsely claimed in the present degraded society. Thus in the purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is all about many, many questions and answers right from the beginning, right from chapter 1. So the six questions were asked by the sages of Naimisharanya, Shreya, Sara, Jata, Leela, Avatar and Ashraya. These are one word term by which we can remember those six questions. Shreya means what is ultimate good for all the people. Sara means people in Kali Yuga, they don't have much lifespan, less memory. So please tell us what is the essence of all Vedic literatures. We cannot read even Srimad Bhagavatam, which is given by Srila Prabhupada. We don't have that much time. So what to speak of Vedic literatures? So give us the sara. So the question jada means, why the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared as a son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Then the question Leela is mainly focusing on the Krishna's creative pastime, just as Mahavishnu, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, and Shirodaka Sai Vishnu. Then Avatara is asking his in his Leela in or pastime in different incarnation. And Ashraya means once the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, left for his abode where the religious principles have taken shelter. That is here, Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's always wonderful or one's fortune that one can take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So some questions were asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadev Goswami in end of second canto and in the beginning of the third canto. And Sukadev Goswami answered with a conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. That is the episode where we are in. Questions. Yeah, you ask certain questions. And actually these subject matters were discussed by Vidura and Maitreya Muni. And what kind of questions they asked is very important. The questions, you know, Bhavabdi Loga Mangalam, the question should be for the benefit of all, for benefit of everyone. So questions can be asked even to a saintly person about some material things, which is not taking the best advantage. I remember one time, I believe, Bhaktivikas Maharaj came to our center, and one person, a little bit new, he came and requested us. Maharaj was busy with so many people, and he said, "I want to see Maharaj urgently." So he said, "Urgently, urgently, and urgently." So he said something so important for him. So we took him inside, and he asked the question to Bhaktivikas Maharaj. "Maharaj, I want to go to Australia. Can you please tell me how to do that?" Maharaj said, "I can't tell you this. I can't tell you how to go to Goloka Vrindavan." So, so there can be so many different kind of questions. So that's why, you know, this Sudha Goswami said, "Munaya sadhu prishtoham." Sadhu means, you know, the questions you are asking is very, very valuable. Why? Loka Mangalam. It's for the benefit of the whole humanity. So here, coming to this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question: where and when Vidura and Maitreya conversation, or that samvada, we call it a samvada. You know, there are a lot of samvada in Srimad Bhagavatam, like Narada Vyasa samvada. So here, Vidura Maitreya samvada, where it happened. So, we know that Vidura was a well-wisher of Dhritarashtra and the whole Kuru dynasty. But somehow, Dhritarashtra was blind. No, he is materially blind. And practically, spiritually blind also. He knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever advice Vidura is giving is for my benefit. But somehow, because of his blind love towards his sons, he could not act on it. We see that, you know, sometimes Dhritarashtra take a good decision, but again he changed by the influence of Duryodhan. So it's a lesson to, you know, all parents, that the parents should not be blind with love for their children. What is good for them, that is to be done. So anyway, while Vidura was giving such good advice, "You are keeping this Duryodhan," Vidura said to Dhritarashtra, "and he is against Krishna. Get rid of him for the benefit of the whole dynasty." And Duryodhan heard about it. "How dare are you? We are taking care of you. We are giving you all your requirements. And you are on the side of the enemy." "Get out from this place. Only with your breath." See how arrogant is Duryodhan. So, Vidura is obviously a saintly person, so practically he kept everything of his Kshatriya things in front of the palace. "Take your crown. Take your bow and arrows." He went for pilgrimage. And then he met Uddhava on the bank of Yamuna. And then he inquired about what is happening with the Yadu dynasty, about Krishna, all these questions he asked. Vidura asked Uddhava. And Uddhava is such a wonderful devotee of Lord Sri Krishna. Just by thinking about Krishna, he manifested various bhava, various emotions. We hear that, you know, when we progress in our bhakti, when come to the, you know, advanced stage of bhava bhakti, there can be various kind of emotions. Ashru, kamba. Ashru means tears. Kamba means shivering, stamba, stunned, vaivarnya, color changes, swarabheda, swarabheda means voice chalk. So, various symptoms manifested in Uddhava. And then, in that mood, Uddhava started talking about, you know, Krishna's various pastimes. Then we can see, you know, he was talking about Krishna's various pastime in Vrindavan. And then he started talking about the pastime outside Vrindavan. So this particular episode is Uddhava is discussing about Krishna's pastime outside Vrindavan. So by the arrangement of Krishna, you know, you must be knowing that story. The princes went to the sage and offended the sage, and the sage cursed them, and the whole dynasty will be finished by your act. So after this, all these Vrishnis, Krishna's family members, they went to Prabhasa. Place called Prabhasa. And there, they have given a lot of charity to the Brahmanas. So this particular sloka is talking about that. Thereafter, they offered the... that is 28. The Brahmanas were not only given well-fed cows in charity, but also gold coins, gold, bedding, clothing, animal skin, seeds, blankets, hoods, elephants, girls, and sufficient land for maintenance. So, all these charities were given to the Brahmanas. So here, now those you are familiar with a little bit of the Indian language. These are very close to generally used language, whatever, many words in this verse. Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu. So he sleep on golden bird. Hiranyakashipu. Hiranya means gold. Rajatam, gold coin. Shaya. Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, Shaya. Kshirodaka Shaya Vishnu, Shaya. Shaya is bedding. Vashamsi, clothing. Vashamsi Jirnani. The words in Bhagavad Gita, clothing. Ajana, animal skin for seeds. Kambala, so Kambali is a normal word in many languages. Blankets, yanam, horses, ratha, chariots, and elephants, kanya is girls. And then tharam, vrittikarim, thara is actually earthly planet, thara, tharitri, choni, chiti, like that. Different names are there for the earthly planet. So land were given for livelihood. And Srila Prabhupada explained in this purport, charity is meant for Brahmanas. Why charity is meant for Brahmanas? He mentioned they live for the betterment of the whole society. They live like that. So charity to be given to the Brahmanas. So, Brahmanas never work as paid servants. That was the system. Even, say, maybe 50, 60 years back also, no one will see a Brahmana working. But now it is very common. Neither the society take care of the Brahmanas, nor the Brahmanas are so qualified. So that's why our Shastra says, Kalau Shudra Sambhava. In Kali Yuga, there is no more Brahmanas. Practically everyone is a Shudra. Everyone is working under someone. So whoever is working under someone is a Shudra. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned all this civilization, what this civilization did is practically made everyone a Shudra. So, it may be a little bit funny. Actually, this, you know, Prabhupada already said that. No? We get qualified graduation, maybe post-graduation and all those things. Prabhupada says, then we write our biodata. My dear sir, I am such and such qualified dog looking for a master. So, and then Prabhupada says, actually, education means one should become independent. But practically, after education, we look for dependence, looking for a master. And if there is no master, then we feel like a street dog. So that's a civilization. So the Brahmanas are practically not there in the current society. So the society has to provide them. Means we know that there is Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. And the Shudras' business is to serve the other three Varnas, like Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, they are supposed to provide all the necessities of Brahmanas. So practically nowadays there is no, this system is not prevailing. There is no Brahmana, there is no Kshatriya, and Prabhupada used to say, where the Kshatriya is supposed to sit, Shudras are sitting. If a proper Kshatriya or a proper Brahmana comes, get out from here. So, everything is practically collapsed. So even like Prabhupada says, you know, in Bengal, even before, say, 100 years or so, still there were this culture. The Brahmanas were sitting in some corner of the village, and all the village boys will come. They will learn from this Brahmana. There is nothing like feasts. And these boys will bring some grains, vegetables. They'll give it to the Brahmana. And he's happy with that. So we know some Chanakya Pandit. So Chanakya Pandit removed, I forgot the name of that king. He removed the king. Samgupta, Samudragupta. And he was not dependent on the king. And he made the son as the next king. And the son came to Chanakya Pandit and said, "My dear sir, you are living in a hut. Please come with me. I'll make a palace for you. And stay in that palace comfortably." And Chanakya Pandit said, "How dare are you asking me this kind of thing? You know, you know the fate of your father. Same thing will happen to you." So Brahmanas were so powerful. They can even remove the king. So it appears like, you know, they are poor, but they were very, very powerful. And that was the system. So once the Brahmanical culture is gone, the society is in chaos. So Prabhupada used to say, it's a headless society. No brain. And here it says, when sometimes when Brahmanas are in difficulty for marriage, then girls were given. Everything, every need of the Brahmanas were met. And Prabhupada mentioned here that there was social cooperation between different varnas. So, even actually, sometimes, you know, people talk about classless society. It's impossible. Whether knowingly or unknowingly, class is there. You know, someone was talking about China, you know. They want, you know, everyone to be the same. And it is not possible. If you think in a different manner, these classes are still existing in a kind of a perverted way. Kshatriyas, there are people who are ruling, isn't it? The president or prime minister, whatever it is. And then there are soldiers. Vaishyas, there are people who are doing business. And there is farming, there are labor class. So where is classless society? But only thing is, it is the principles are not followed. So Prabhupada mentioned here, I have 5 more minutes. When the Brahmanas, easy going, when they are fed by the society, easy going. Okay. No, nowadays we can see there are so many people, they learn some mantras, they do different pujas and make a living out of it. So easy going. And no brahmanical qualification, only some mantras. They know some mantras. And what is behind the mantras? Do not know. And sometimes the people in general are fascinated to have different kind of pujas. Especially in India, we can see, call someone for this puja and that puja. This is going on. And there is fees for that. He will say, for this puja, fees is this much. That's not quite brahmanical. Yeah. So, and Prabhupada mentioned here that this four varnas are the arrangement of Krishna for a nice society, as it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Chadur Varne Maya Srishtam. These four varnas are created by me alone. But based on what? Guna Karma Vibhagasa, Guna and Karma. Sometimes people say that, Krishna has made this caste system and there is a lot of problems. But Chaturvarna Maya Srishtam, Guna Karma, it's not a birthright. So the caste system is arranged according to quality of work, not birthright. And our Shastra says even someone who was born in a dog eater's family can become a spiritual master. Satkarma, Nipuno Vipro, Mantra Tantra Vishara. This is talking about today's Brahmanas. Nipuna means expert, Vipra, Brahmana, expert Brahmana. In what? Mantra and Tantra, everything, he's expert. Avaishnava Guru Nasyad. If he is not a Vaishnava, he cannot become a spiritual master. Vaishnava Sapachu Guru. Sapacha means, even if someone take birth in a dog eater's family, if he is a Vaishnava, then he can be a spiritual master. So, in short, Brahmanical culture is very important. And we all know that Srila Prabhupada mentioned that, we want to make many brahmanas for the welfare of the society. By this, I end the class. There is 3 minutes. If you have, yeah. Yes, Mataji.
Thank you so much.
That
was a beautiful class and laid out very nicely the way of doing a very sane and self-evolutionary society. But how do we go from where we are to attain that? Because, like if a brahmana just relies on donations, he has to pay his rent, he has to do so many things. So it's okay if everything's in place and he's getting the charity, the land and the cows from the people. But in this day and age, it's not like that. And if, for instance, you say to someone a donation, you may get like a few dollars for something and not be able to even eat, for instance. So I'm just wondering how we're going to, as a movement, make the appropriate steps so that we can go back and actually live according to what Srila Prabhupada is saying is the perfect society.
So, my humble answer would be, start from ourselves. See, we have, so many devotees in the movement. And we have to think ourselves that how many of us are becoming serious. So if we can make each person can make another person a devotee, so gradually the changes will happen. There is nothing like a magic by which, you know, things will turn around in short time. But let's do what is in our hand. That's what we can do. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thanks for your very nice class. Welcome to New Dwarka.
Thank you.
I'm going to just make a short comment on her question, and then maybe you can tell us a little something about yourself, because most of us don't know you personally. In answer to her question, because it's Kali Yuga, certain things had to be changed that were happening previously. And that's the example that was set by Srila Prabhupada's guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Before him, there were certain things that sannyasis did not do. Dress nicely, ride around in cars, unheard of. But he stated clearly, he wanted his sannyasis to dress nicely and go around in cars, but for the right purpose. If you're doing it for the right purpose, for spreading Krishna consciousness, for preaching purposes, you can do that. Otherwise, don't spend a farthing. For preaching, you can make big nice temples, big nice devotee society, dress nicely, ride in cars. These things can be done for preaching, not for your personal aggrandizement. And specifically for ISKCON, Prabhupada said, if somebody's working for the society, ISKCON, they can be maintained to a minimum standard. If you need more than that, then you have to figure out how to get it. But if you work for the society, you can be maintained to a minimum standard.
Thank you, Baba Hare Krishna. Actually, you know, if such questions are asked, so I will be answering based on where I am situated. There comes the difference, actually. Because I am unfamiliar with various things maybe going on in the society here. So, yes, Prabhu.
No, I'm not. I didn't.
You
can keep talking.
Introduce. Yeah. My name is Udarakirti Chaitanya Das.
What?
Udarakirti Chaitanya Das. Udara Kirti Chaitanya Das. Jayapada Maharaj gives very long names to his disciples. Yeah. So, I was working in the Middle East. That time I came in contact with devotees and then joined the movement. And later on I was temple president there in Bahrain. And then we started a temple-centered community back in Kerala. So now I am serving in that place. That's all about my humble self.
Prabhu, thank you. I have a question. We heard very often, the famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, Yada Yada Hi Dharma Shagla Nirbhavati Bharata. So the principle of Dharma holds the whole society in interactions and dealings, and if it's done improperly, a big discrepancy. So my question is, in the purport or in the verse, is it that the brahmanas wouldn't get salary? The main purpose is because the quality of truthfulness will be thrown out of the window. If you work with a government or you work in any spiritual organization and you get paid, you cannot say anything because you are obliged to just or remain silent. So that's the question. Is that one of the main reasons why also, you know, they don't get paid or salary?
Exactly. So you said the question and answer. Actually, if we have to give advice to someone, we should not be dependent on that particular person. If we are dependent on that person, it's very difficult to give advice. So they always want to keep their independence.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. You were mentioning in one part of your class how
Like in India, for example, there may be like so-called brahmanas. They do this puja and that puja, and they just basically maintain the temple and the deities just to make money and to earn a livelihood. This is kind of indirectly related, but when you said that, I was thinking how even like within ISKCON, we see that there's like people do car puja. I don't know like where that came from or if that's even legit. And I also sometimes question the validity and the importance of like for example when there's like a festival day, like Ramachandra's appearance day or something like that, for example, and we hold like a fire yajna outside. I was wondering if that's like of prime necessity, or would it be better if we held Sankirtan yajna, because we hear Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Eva Kevalam. There's actually any yajna in this age is basically useless except for Sankirtan yajna. And also I also question in my mind, maybe I hope I'm not offensive for asking this, but I'm just wondering, maybe you can clarify it. But like when someone, like a devotee leaves their body, and then we have like a fire yajna outside and we have all these ceremonies, is that of absolute necessity or importance? Why have a fire yajna? We can all do congregational chanting. It's more powerful. And what is that fire yajna actually going to do for a devotee? You know, Krishna is going to protect that devotee. We learn basic philosophy straight from Bhagavad Gita. We're not the body, we're the soul. So why do we have to, you know, bring people's ashes to India and spread them in the Ganges and things like this? Is it actually necessary?
Hare Krishna. Actually, I would say an intentional deviation is no way good. Intentional deviation. From the core. We have a core. That's our Sangeeta. But sometimes what happens to attract the public to our movement, we may do some interim practice by which some people get attracted. You know, some people, you know, if you do, okay, we say, I will come to your home and do some kirtan sometime, because traditionally, or they are not so familiar with it. They may not be very enthusiastic about it. Then we say, all right, we'll come to your home and do yajna. Yeah, yeah, please come. No, by this act, we get an entry into their home. Okay, so do yajna, okay, do little kirtan. In this way, we become connected to those people. So, for getting connection with various kind of people and the society, you know, we can do various things, but that should not be the main thing. So devotees should have that clear understanding that what for I am doing it. Then everything works. As Prabhu said, for preaching purpose, you know, we can practically do anything and everything. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that, no, you can go out with kind of pants, shirt, ties and everything, it was a revolutionary statement, unheard of. So the purpose is bringing people more close to Krishna, then it's fine. If that is not the purpose, then it's a deviation. Thank you.
Thank you very much for a nice class, Prabhuji. In regard to some of the things which have just been said a few moments ago, Krishna makes it very clear. He makes it clear in the pastime of Indrajagya that we had. He makes it very clear in his verses in the Bhagavad Gita, and all activities you just depend upon me and work under my protection. And just in such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So what does he want us to do? focus upon Him. And if we do that throughout the day, when it comes to some difficulty, trial, tribulation, problem, it will come quite natural and quite easy because we are thinking of Krishna, depending upon Krishna, begging for the mercy of Krishna, for the guidance of Krishna, and receiving that, and in receiving it, for being fulfilled as human beings, as devotees, who know that Krishna is there to answer. You don't have to go to 10,000 demigods. In that very interesting pastime of Indrajagya. So what did Krishna try to do? He tried to discourage this type of worship. He said, no, no, the Brahmins, okay. He said, you worship the Brahmins and also Govardhan Hill. He said, these are the main points. And if you follow those points, which I am telling you, you will prosper, you will progress, you will succeed. But when we add and add and add and add and add and add and add, keep adding things, what happens is that the original idea is lost. And because it's lost, people think that that's okay because it's been going on. Tradition doesn't necessarily make it right. And that was what Krishna was protesting. He said, you don't have to do a special yajna for Indra. Do it for Govardhan Hill, who is non-different from Krishna. So this is the main point. We lose the main point in the minutiae, 1,000 different, and then we don't know what the real point is. The point is Krishna. The point is Krishna's mercy. The point is Krishna's love. The point is that Krishna is granting and giving and helping us. We shouldn't forget Krishna. This is the most important thing. But people like to do that because it gives them more things to do and more prestige, more honor, more glorification, more pride. That's not our goal, to have pride. It's not our goal to be glorified. It's not our goal to be applauded. If we get it, okay, you give it back to Krishna. He's the one who deserves it anyway. So that's all I really want to say in regard to this particular point. We should keep our mind focused upon the Supreme Lord in a mood of thankfulness, you know, or gratitude, and a mood of wanting to become better serve Krishna, always knowing no matter how great, how wonderful, how glorious it is, it's nothing compared to what Krishna can make it. And when we think like that, we always go up. When we think, well, this is pretty good, this is wonderful, everybody's praising me. What praises we get is irrelevant. What love we can express is very relevant. Yeah. That's all I can say.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Yeah, I just want to mention about the fire sacrifice, the different samskaras, and even having on Krishna's appearance day and Krishna's incarnations have a fire sacrifice for them. This is mentioned by the Goswamis, the six Goswamis. He says, as one does six things with sesame seeds on one's appearance day, such as offering sesame seeds in the fire, eating sesame seeds like that, he said one should also do this for the deity. And in the Sat Kriya Sarantapika was written by one of the Goswamis, mentioned all the different samskaras. So the fire sacrifices go on, just like we do deity worship. Deity worship was from another yuga, but we still do deity worship. It's not that we just sankirtan, but all the things that the acharyas told us. So in that way, it just said it's what's condemned in Vedic literature is the big fire sacrifices they used to have where they would, and Prabhupada mentions this in one of his purports, that in this age of Kali, nobody could perform these big sacrifices where they offer a cow and sacrifice and they rejuvenate. That's what's condemned, not these other samskaras or sacrifices or for festivals. That's encouraged by our acharyas like that.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.